Krásné dobré ráno, odpoledne nebo večer. Já jsem Tereza Salta, vy posloucháte podcast V oblacích. No a v tom dnešním velmi volně navážeme na ten minulý díl, který jsem natáčela s Jonem a který se nám krapet protáhnul. Takže i dneska se ponoříme do anglických otázek na tělo na Jonyho a já doufám, že se vám to bude líbit, já sama se na to moc krát těším. Tak vítejte v oblacích. Okay, let's jump into another question from Krištofová Thea. She's asking if it's hard to speak that many languages at home, that she would get crazy. How do you feel about that? You, a language master and person who didn't want to go to study pilot because they had to speak English and so on and so on.
Yeah, that was actually my big dream to be a, what is it called, fighter pilot? No, what is it? The high-speed planes.
Stíhačka.
Yeah, stíhačka. Hmm. Wanted to be stíhačka pilot, but I took it away because I couldn't imagine speaking English in the studies.
Welcome to our podcast, which is completely in English, yeah. And into our family, which has three languages.
No, at home, I don't think about it at all, actually. Before we got William, I actually didn't speak much Norwegian, except when I called home. But now when we have William, I speak Norwegian a lot, of course, to him, but I don't feel we have many languages or that it's complicated or anything. It's kind of, that's just how we have it. So it's, I wouldn't say it's complicated at all, but when I was living in Norway, didn't have you, only spoke Norwegian, I would probably say it sounds super complicated.
I think it's hard to imagine for people who never tried it or never had it. And I think it's easier than people expect to be. Of course, sometimes it's a little bit confusing when we have some friends over. Then I feel it's starting to be maybe an issue because you speak to William in Norwegian, which they don't understand. And then suddenly there's this confusion like, oh, what is he saying? Or what? Like there's a lot of translations flying around and stuff. But I think it's just you get used to it very, very fast. You don't even think about it. Mm. But yeah, it's a topic that is fascinating for many people, and it's been fascinating me too for many years. So it's fun to be in it, and I'm like curious how these things will develop when the boys are maybe 10, 12. Are we still going to speak English, or are we going to choose another family language, or am I going to speak fully Norwegian then with them because it will be exotic for them, or what is going to happen?
Yeah, I want, I don't know how many kids we will have, but I want them to kind of learn all the languages. So that's also why I don't want to switch us into speaking Norwegian or Czech and kind of skip the English part.
No, of course. But they will learn English at school, or at least they will learn the basics maybe from us, and after they will be developing in their own way.
I feel it's a benefit that we have three languages, not a something holding them back.
No, definitely. I agree. And it's a lot of fun. Sometimes it can be mess. And sometimes it's a lot of fun when Willy is combining all the languages together. It's, magical.
Mm-hmm. I would just wish that it was not Norwegian and Czech, but that you were French and I was Spanish, for example. That would be more useful.
Yeah, wrong. You picked the wrong girl. If you thought if you wish I was French...
Not for me, for the languages.
No, of course. But on the other hand, that's quite exotic combination. I'm not saying it's the most useful combination, not at all. But Norwegian is great, at least because then it's Swedish and Danish, at least. Czech is Slovak. Here you go.
No, that's true.
But yeah, at least it's something different. We will see what will happen. Okay, the next one from Potenciální Kompozice, that's an Instagram name. Is there something that you kind of took from the Czech mentality and you consider it yours now? Something that kind of you learn after living here for almost 6 years?
Oh, that's very interesting. Maybe you would be better in answering that, but... We talked about that too before, but that's, I think this, how Czech people are so social. Now, of course, this year is again different, But before that, how you kind of go out after work, you meet people outside. This part is something I feel I have learned here, but I don't feel it's something strange for Czech anymore, but it's kind of also a part of me.
No, of course, because that's true. If you compare our life in Norway when we lived in Oslo, I would say it's very different. Like, you go home after work, you go home after school, you just don't go somewhere here and there and have dinner and go to a bar. Or yes, you do, but on Friday and Saturday, you have it strictly planned. But yes, that's true. You are doing much more, or we have been doing, or we were doing a lot more the social things in Czech. That's for sure. But I think more we like to talk about it, that it's like, I feel that we more talk about it, that we like it, because here is so much social life. But actually, if you look at our life, like, of course, the last year is not like corresponding with the normal life. But also when we started Elite Bloggers, for example, we didn't do anything except work. We didn't go anywhere.
No, but that was because we had to work.
Exactly. And then when we could, then I got pregnant. And then we got William. And then so on and so on and so on. And then I finally stopped breastfeeding. And then Corona came. So I don't think we actually really did it the way how we think we wanted it.
Yeah, but I think maybe it's not about if we did it or not, but it's about how we feel the possibility is there or was there.
That's of course.
Kind of, that's a different thing than in Norway. You don't kind of do that, I feel. And I also learned, or at least I'm getting there, but it's a little bit more mean humor.
Yeah, that was my point. That's definitely the thing what you have learned. You were always so politically correct and not making fun of anything that could kind of, you know, tickle the other person or something like that. And now you can just go and hit it straight. And then your explanation is like, I learned from you, Czech people. This is the Czech way. I'm just trying to be part of it.
Yeah, I'm getting good at that one.
But have you ever tried it in Norway then?
No, I could not.
You could not? You don't think that people would accept it?
No.
No, not your friends would?
No.
Are you sure?
Of course not sure, but I don't, that's very different. That's not socially acceptable. Many things that we do here in Czech that I now feel is like just part of life. It's just fun. That's things you cannot do in Norway.
Do you have some specific example? What couldn't you tell to your friends that they would get mad, but you could tell it to people in our office, for example?
It's more when you make fun of / with the person. Like, that would be considered bullying in Norway, but here it's just, you just laugh of it because you are used to it. Like, people do it all the time.
Is it something you like, or is it something you just consider as that's how it is? Is it something you enjoy doing?
I'm not fully Czech in this yet, but I'm kind of doing a little bit and a little bit more kind of touching and see what is okay and not. I haven't grown up with this. I don't know where it's over the line. And of course, in Czech, there is also a line that you cannot step over, and it's kind of to find that line. But I'm not very bad yet. You know, I don't like to be mean to people, for example. So, of course, it's hard for me, this combination.
But sometimes you are kind of striking on me, though.
On you? Like, you are my test
what?
Person.
You cannot say that. Well, yeah, especially, well, yeah, I have now, you know, I'm getting bigger and bigger. I call myself a whale, which is really funny. We are still laughing about it, but I think that there's going to be some tipping edge where I will just like burst in my tears and say, this is not funny anymore. I just really can't walk or something. But that has been quite a lot, right? That you've been, I would consider it bullying. I would consider it, marriage bullying.
Oof.
Yeah.
No. yes, this is an example I've been playing with a little bit, trying to figure out where is the line.
Playing with? You will? Isn't the sofa cracking now?
But
should you really eat more chips?
No. Now you are going too far, because I would never say that, for example, with the chips, because there
you
is...
You said it the other day.
No, there is where the line
you
go from me.
You didn't give me my chips.
No.
You closed the bag and put it back to the kitchen.
Now you're unfair.
No, that happened.
Yeah, now I have to tell... Now I have to tell the story, though.
Okay.
I went and I was going to have some Cedarvi Cola. And you said that I wasn't allowed to open it because if I open it, then you will want to. And I said, that's okay. I will not give it to you if you want. And then you came after 10 minutes, said, give me the bag. And I said, no, you said that I shouldn't give it to you. You cannot attack me for that one.
That is actually correct.
Yes.
That's actually the correct story.
Yes, so it was nice because I promised you I will not give it to you even though you want it.
So just imagine the situation. A whale is sitting on a sofa, on a cracking sofa, and Yone is sitting next to me and saying, no, I'm not going to give you any more Cedarvi Cola. Yeah, that's our idyllic home.
Yeah. But there is, for example, where I would drag the line. I would never say that you shouldn't do anything or anything. Like, you are the one calling yourself a whale. So I like play along with it sometimes, but I always make sure after to say that you are beautiful, that you look great, that you are not a whale.
Yeah, don't splash. Don't go to the water. It will go over.
Now you are making up things, but it's no. Great. I like it.
No, I remember exactly all those things, even though my milky brain. Bára Pavlosová is asking if you are talkative. That I have heard that people from Scandinavia are not speaking too much.
Mm? No, that's very true, actually. Like, especially this outside your inner circle, it's not normal to kind of speak with each other. I think you, again, if you go to a bar in Czech, you are much more likely to be able to start a conversation with someone you don't know than you are in Norway. And you would never speak to anyone on the tram or the bus. That's just not happening. While Czech people more can just speak with people in the store or something. And that part I really like. But of course, again, it's challenging for me. Not because I don't want to, but because I haven't grown up with this kind of doing this. I've grown up with that you are staying with your people.
Mm.
And I think what she's saying is very true, though. Like, Norwegian people and Scandinavian people, they don't speak that much to each other, except their closest group.
But I consider your parents, for example, they are very talkative with, like, other people, aren't they?
Yes, but it's normally kind of, again, people they know. And then, or people who's introduced by people you really know. Then they become part of the circle. But they wouldn't go just to the store and talk with someone without anyone else being around that they never seen before.
Hmm. Do you think it's coming from the, you know, from the back in the history that there was, you know, people didn't talk much, they lived far away from each other. We more lived in smaller groups or more that it was more cold and people didn't care.
it's hard to say.
Eating fish.
I would say Norwegian or Scandinavian people are very talkative, but just amongst the circle, as I said, for the outside, it seemed like they are not, because if you are on a tram, you don't see people speak to each other, but they do when they are private.
I would say that specifically about you, that I think that you have some days where you are very Norwegian, that you don't speak much, and you are like,
To you or to other people?
To me. To me.
I hope you are in my circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also hope. Like, who else should be if I'm not? I mean, some days I feel that it's this, your Scandinavian genes are like bubbling inside you and you are like, But then some days it's like totally different story and you can speak a lot and you are like have some topic, and especially about golf and football. There you can speak for hours and I don't have to answer anything. Mm. But
do you see a pattern?
I see a pattern, yeah. I'm learning.
If you speak about things that interest me, then I will speak a lot. If it's something you are talking about for the fourth day in a row, then maybe.
Be concrete here. What I've been talking about for a fourth day in a row?
Right now, the topic is what we have to do in the house or what Christmas present we should buy to everyone in details, with a list, with names, with everything. Then sometimes I zoom out a little bit. That's correct.
What about planning our Olafa calendar?
Yeah, for example. Very interesting for me.
It's extremely interesting.
And also, it's the point that you often ask me for advice about things that I know that it doesn't matter what I say. You will do it the way you want anyway. That's something I have learned over the years about you. So I don't see the point why I should sit and we should discuss something for a long time that you will in the end do whatever you want anyway. So then I kind of just try to get the conversation over.
Okay. No, I have to admit that this is really funny because there are certain ways and certain things I just can't stand to be different. And one of many examples is when I ask Yone and Willy to prepare the table. It's just I don't get how they can, after that many years, just prepare different. And I just have to go and, for example, Yone put one golden spoon and one silver knife. Like, that's just no go. Like, why would anyone do that?
What does this have to do with talking?
No, I don't know. It's just like the certain things that I have already decided in my head that this is how things are supposed to be.
Yes.
But yeah, and my to-do lists are very, that's my number one activity lately. I have to say that it's a lot of fun. Yone is contributor in many of my lists. He's just not contributing in there. But that's okay. That's just some inside info for my followers. Yeah. Koviho Endi, I would say that that's a big fan of Kovi, not of us. But maybe, look, wouldn't Yone want to have his own podcast?
Yeah, English or Czech?
It would be your podcast. You can do whatever you want. You could do Norwegian.
Norwegian
for Norwegian people.
Not for Koviho Andi.
Not for Koviho Andi, I guess.
I thought it was her who wanted to listen.
I guess. But, like, if have you ever thought about it?
Yes, of course. Like, we have the studio here. Everything is made for it. But I kind of haven't found anything that I feel that is worth making a podcast about. I was considering if I should make a Czech one just for learning Czech. Not caring if anyone listen, but kind of...
Just speak Czech in the podcast.
Just speak Czech in a podcast or read something in Czech. Kind of practice.
But you can practice at home.
Yeah,
you have to record it to my room. Or you like to listen to yourself or you want to inspire other people or...
No, because I wouldn't care if people listen or not. If I would do that, that would kind of be for myself. But I don't know. I think it could be fun.
I'm sorry, I'm yawning here, but it's not because you are boring.
That's why I don't speak Czech at home.
No, I've been quite tired today, but that's fine. I would say that you could have... I think you could have make very interesting podcast, like really. But I think you would need someone who would drag you into it a little bit,
like a co-host,
like a partner. Yeah, not me though.
No, but no,
no. Like, oh, not you.
I think you have enough podcasts.
Yeah, I have just two. I can have 3, 4, 5 more. No, but I think it would be quite interesting. I think you have very interesting point of view on many things. You know a lot of things. You tell me all the time some like crazy stories that I have never ever heard anywhere. Like, I don't even know where you find those stories. But the other day you told me a story about this. But I guess most of your stories are also coming from podcasts of other people. This story about this husband of Pilot Frue who was born many weeks before the due date, and then he was in an ambulance, like going to the hospital, and then the ambulance crashed, and whatever. There was some crazy story there. Did I say it correct?
Yeah, but it's a long speaking for not telling the story.
You can tell the story. This is your honor. It's quite interesting story, so maybe we just started it. So.
Yeah, I can tell the story. I don't see the point, but there was a guy from Norway, and he was born early. And then he had to be moved to another hospital who had could take care of him when he was that preborn. And in the hospital, he was placed in this, what is it called?
I would call it incubator.
Incubator.
I'm not sure if it's a word, but let's
call it that. What is in Czech?
Incubator.
Okay, so incubator. And then he was placed in that in an ambulance, and he was moved alone in this ambulance, just with a nurse in the back and the driver. And on the way, this ambulance crashed with a big truck who was carrying the lumber. And even the lumber fell off the truck and crushed the back part of the ambulance where he was lying inside. And the incubator crushed in many pieces and everything. And both the driver of the ambulance and the nurse had to go to hospital. and everything. And the father was driving right behind the ambulance and kind of saw this. It's like, I cannot imagine that feeling if I would be driving by. But he was totally fine, the newborn baby.
It's an insane story. It reminds me like Harry Potter type of story or something. I don't know why.
Okay.
It's like the small baby surviving this crazy crash. And yeah, so these kind of stories you could tell in your podcast. So maybe think about it.
Yeah. I don't have the podcast voice that you have.
Yes, you do. You have quite good voice, I would say. You just do two big breaks in between your words. I'm kidding. Okay, let's move on to the... okay, I think we are slightly over the time, so we can do two, three questions. Quite fast one. Prague versus Oslo. What's the best? What's the worst? What do you miss?
Like the weather, the beer, the prices. Now I have my long break.
It's okay. Should I fill it up with something?
Yes, fill it up with something.
For like, I think it's two places that's really hard to compare. They have totally different atmosphere. Each of it, like both of them have something magical. And I feel for me, it's when I'm in Oslo or when we lived in Oslo, I really missed Prague. When we live in Prague, I really miss Oslo. So I think they are very different, but both are amazing, absolutely amazing.
Yeah, in a certain way, they are not kind of fighting with each other because they are so different type of cities. But it's hard to say. I love it here and I liked it in Oslo too.
I would say that there is some things that like Oslo is definitely more clean. There, like you have a feeling you are maybe in some future city when you are in Oslo and things are changing extremely fast. So if you go there and then you travel after 2-3 months, the city is changing in front of you and you are not recognizing some places. And it's really fast developing. And there's like a lot of new modern parts, which I don't feel we have that many in Prague. There is no room for it. Mm. But in Oslo, there is. So I think that's for me the biggest thing. And that's maybe why I like it, because I feel that there is always something new. And this kind of feeling of the future, I really like it.
It's a more modern city, that's for sure. And I think maybe for young people, it's also maybe a better city for like student environment, these things.
Hmm. What would be, if you wouldn't have elite bloggers, what would you want to be your job or what you could have as your job? It's maybe two different questions.
I would still want to be the pilot.
You want to be the pilot?
Yeah. But then I had to speak English, so.
I think you managed that part. I think there is some more parts that you are missing, more than the English.
Why?
No, I mean, you don't know how to fly.
No, but that I can learn. I can learn anything.
That's true. Yeah, if one thing Yoni can do, he can learn almost everything.
Why almost? Why?
Like interior design, I don't think you have the talent for it.
No, that's maybe
I don't
true.
Think that's the only thing or one of some things you could not learn. But you could learn how to cook super easy. You would just follow the recipe. You could learn how to iron, maybe.
I know how to. That's a skill you wish I learned.
Yes, just telling things I wish what you could do.
I think if we didn't have, of course, I was in the law studies when we moved here. So I guess that's the more natural choice. That's what I would have done in Norway, but I would never know.
But you never wanted to do it, actually. Or yes, you did, but...
I wanted to do it, but I don't think I would be a traditional lawyer. I would do it in some other way to use the education.
Okay. Like, for example, what?
I don't know. That if we go back in time and don't move here, I would figure out, but it's impossible to say. But I always been kind of wanting to be an entrepreneur, though. I always wanted to start something on my own. I don't know. It's impossible to say. I feel we are both this type that things are changing very fast. We jump on the possibilities we get. So it's impossible. I don't think I could say 5 years ago what I will do in 5 years in Norway either.
Do you think if you would end up being a lawyer in Norway, we would have stayed in Norway? Do you think that we would like somehow started a company maybe later? Do you think that we would kind of, we have it so much in us that we would like, hey, we want to do it? Or do you think we would be more scared because we will have family, some background, some position, career, and so on? So we would be like, are you crazy? Why we would give it up for some dream that maybe doesn't have to work out?
No, I'm almost 100% sure that we would have started something anyway, no matter where in the world we would live.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. I think I'm a little bit more, I would be more skeptical, because I feel that when we started, we had a great kind of starting point because we didn't have anything. We didn't have money. We didn't have much. Yeah, we had some education, that's for sure. But we didn't have any position, any career, any experience, and so on and so on. And I'm a little bit afraid that if, for example, we both would have a good work position, and if we both would kind of be at least happy there in certain level, I think we would be maybe too lazy to start over. We would maybe find excuses, be like, ha, but we have loan, house loan, and so on and so on. It's too risky. We have 4 kids, like.
But I think we would have done it much earlier, before the 4 kids, before we had stable careers, everything. I think I would, if we wouldn't have started this company, I would have other ideas I would have pushed on you until you actually bit
give
on
up.
One. No, yeah, or not give up, but until you got enough excited about something else that we would do that.
Okay, good. So you never know where we will be in 5 years. It will be very interesting to listen to our podcast and be like, what? What did we say there? That was stupid or naive or great, maybe smart. Okay. Lucia Novotná is asking, how do you feel about Teresa being known on social media? Do you ever get recognized too? I would say that Yone gets most recognized.
Yeah, it's actually quite surprising.
Yeah, it's nobody knows that it's me, but everyone knows it's Yone.
When people come over to you, they say like, yeah, I saw your husband. So then I looked around and I saw you too.
So I'm invisible. No, it's really funny. Do you think it's maybe because you look a little bit more exotic, or you are so memorable, or you're different, or what is it? What is it, Yone?
I don't know. But I think I get recognized sometimes too, especially when I am with you, then people say it, but there's never anyone who stopped me and say hi. That's only when I am with you, they come and say hi to you. But there is some people writing you that they saw me.
Yeah, that's true. I have many agents.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw Yone. He was in there and there. It's like, That's true.
But how do I feel about it? That was also the question.
How do you feel about me? What is it? How do you feel about Teresa being known on social media?
Can you define the question for her?
I would say, like, is it nice feeling that people kind of know who we are and what we do in our life, or that everyone knows where we are, or how we look, how our son look like?
I don't have any problem with that. I know, like, for example, from this famous bloggers and stuff in Norway, there are some of them who kind of share the family and where they are part of it, and some of them who keep them kind of isolated from that part of the life. But I don't have any problem being in your social media life. I enjoy it.
You think it has more benefits than cons? More pros than cons?
For me personally, I don't see any cons.
Nothing.
No.
Not at all. Not a single one.
No, I don't. I always say that I always feel strange when I land in Oslo, when I'm going home or something. Because when I'm in Czech, I never think about that anyone can recognize me or anything like that. I never have it in my head. But every time I go off the plane in Oslo, I always have this feeling that, oh, here, nobody can recognize me. So, like, in my daily life, I never think about it. It's only when I go to Norway where I think about it just the opposite way.
But that is quite true, because I have it quite similar like you have it, that I feel some kind of a freedom in Norway. Even though funny thing is that there is a lot of people recognizing us when we are in Norway. the Czech people traveling. This every time, every single time when we took plane to Oslo, there's at least 2 to 3 people recognizing us on the plane and either coming and saying hi or writing me after like, oh, we saw you on the plane. And I'm just, oh, I hope William was fine and we were nice and I was smiling and so on and so on. But I know what you're talking about and this is a little bit strange, but I also feel some certain like, I don't know, this like sinking shoulders that I'm like, okay, I can do whatever I want. I can be mean and yell. And nobody cares. That's
what your dreams are about. Huh?
That's what I do in Norway, right? When I land, as soon as I land, I'm like, ah, running around being crazy. Okay, the last question of them all from Haverlantova B, I would say that's probably Bara. But I don't know, I'm just guessing.
It can be many names on Beacon.
What can it be? I'm guessing. I have a feeling it's Bara.
I think it's Beatrix.
Okay, let's call Beatrix Haverlantova. What is, how do you feel about the second pregnancy? Is it calmer that you know what's going on or is it more stressful or how is it? How do you feel?
I would not say any of them. I would say that it's different for sure. But I think a lot because we have William, like our time doesn't, or at least my time is not used spending on looking forward for the baby because we already have William. I already use my time on him. I feel it gone much faster this time. Maybe because I haven't kind of every day thinking about it. But of course I'm looking forward a lot, but it's just I haven't been thinking about it that much this time as I did with William.
Yeah, I would say that the first pregnancy is like your whole universe is only the pregnancy. You don't think about anything else. You kind of are preparing for the baby. You are kind of that's the world that's going to change and stuff. I would say that's the biggest difference. And yes, it's much faster, I would say too. And but I feel that it's in many ways even like more beautiful because you know what's going to happen. Like you kind of know, of course, you know it's going to be hard and like I'm mentally preparing myself for this long night and so on and so on. But at the same time, you know that's kind of going to be insanely beautiful if, of course, everything is okay.
Even though we kind of, we've been through it before, but there is still nothing that I'm not looking forward for. I'm again looking forward for the long nights. I'm looking forward for changing diapers.
Okay, keep going. I will put this one on speaker.
I am.
What more are you looking forward for, Yoni?
I'm looking forward for everything.
But when it doesn't pee mean on your head?
William never peed on my head.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't, no. But yeah, looking forward for everything. Doesn't mean that I should be the one doing everything because I'm looking forward. So you don't
need to. If you are looking forward and I'm not, then obviously that's a, that's a exact, you know, it's quite clear answer.
No.
No, I understand. No, I think it's been different for me too. But I'm not sure if it's like harder or easier. Or I would say that everything has some up and downs. I remember with the first pregnancy, the last 3 months, so basically like from now, I was continuously sitting down and writing for 10 hours per day because I was finishing the book. I can't even sit now for more than 1 hour. I get pain in my ass and I'm like, how could I have managed that? I don't understand. And I think that with the first one, I was trying to play brave. Very brave. I was trying to kind of show maybe not to the people, more to myself, like, hey, come on, don't be, I don't know, don't be tired, or like you can work hard, you can run, you can stay fit, you can work until the last minute before the birth. And I feel that's a big change in my point of view, that I don't need to do it. I kind of sacrifice, or I appreciate the time I can sleep longer and I'm like, I don't have to play tough. I want to relax more. I want to be lazy because I know that I want to more invest the energy when the baby is out and be kind of ready, not to be like, oh, I should have been more relaxing. Now I can't and stuff.
I think it's also you as a person who changed since the first pregnancy. I think you are.
It's a good thing, or?
Yes, it's a very good thing.
You're totally different now.
I just think you feel you have less to prove.
Yeah, but at the same time, I feel that it's like for me very important to like manage something before. I don't think I'm the type of person that I could go from first pregnancy to second one and be only home with the baby and just like, okay, another one coming. I will do 100% be mom and do this and that. I feel that I need something in between, like, for example, the book is out, or the podcast was running and kind of like the link I was exploding and so on. So that I feel that it's very important, because now I feel like, okay, I manage, I can calm down now, I kind of did my work, and now I can, if you can say it, relax and be a mom.
No, but it's not either that or that. You can do both things.
That's true. I'm extremely tired.
I can both see and hear that.
Okay.
And maybe he wish to go.
Yeah, we have a doctor appointment very, very soon. But thank you for being my guest for the fourth time.
Very welcome.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you will accept my invitation again one day when we are on number 100. Because according to our counting, that should be when the baby is like, yeah, a couple of months.
Yeah.
Something like that. That'll be interesting. So shoot some more questions when the time is coming, and especially remember the one that Yone is looking forward for: changing diapers, long nights, and so on and so on. But thank you, Yone, and thank you for all of you who listen. We are saying so much hi to all the Norwegian friends and family who are listening, because this is the one of four episodes that they can listen and actually understand. Is there something you would want to tell them?
Takk for at dere hører på. Det var veldig koselig. Så snakkes vi snart. Må du bare skrive og si hva du synes om episoden.
Perfect. Thank you so much, everyone, and let's meet next Sunday again. Bye.
Bye.